Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.
If you get in trouble, just say he made that up. Just say he was making that up. He wasn't serious. All right. So Father Shaw starts off this article telling a story about two Protestant intellectuals from the late 1700s. Okay. The two men were Samuel Johnson and James Boswell. And they went to church, and after church, they got to discussing, I think one of them had not gone to communion, and they were discussing why that was. And it's an interesting story itself, but this is not the point of the story. The point of the story was to bring up a broader topic. But what was the point? Well, that these two men go to church together, then discuss theological issues with some depth and breadth. And so that was Father Shaw's first point. Second point, so he tells another story, that in 1989, just a mere 200 years later, the novelist Walker Percy, who, by the way, was from around this area, lived in Covington. I remember seeing Mr. Percy walk around town. He had a little bookstore here right there on a little road called Lee Lane in Covington. Walker Percy was giving a speech, the Jefferson lecture, and he was asked about using in public words such as God, religion, sin, soul, and Jesus Christ. Now, this is what Percy said in response to the question. He said the novelist has to learn to speak of such subjects most circumspectly before an educated audience, since today's intelligentsia can no longer even hear such words with comprehension or sympathy. Now, the next line is a direct quote. He says this. This is really troubling. He says the Catholic novelist has to be very careful. He has to be underhanded. I don't agree with this, by the way. This is Percy, not me. He has to be underhanded, deceitful, and damn careful how he uses the words of religion, which have fallen into disuse and almost become obscenities. Now, there's the question that I wanted to get to out of Father Shaw's article. How is it, do you think, that at the end of the 18th century, two learned men could talk knowingly and believingly of original sin, atonement, and communion without the slightest hesitation? But by the end of the 20th century, such topics must be spoken of guardedly. Father Shaw says, it almost makes one doubt any theory of progress. I won't say I doubt it. I deny progress at this point. If you can go from the high to the low, would you say you're progressing? Well, I guess you are downhill. It almost makes one doubt any theory of progress. Now, listen to what Father Shaw says about the modern world. Obscenities are blared almost everywhere in the modern world, with the protection of the law and the promotion of the culture, while faith must be obscured. It might be concluded from this record of 200 years that Christianity is indeed in the process of disappearing. Now, this is something we talk about on the Mike Church Show here with David Simpson all the time. And that is this. We've gotten the order wrong. something, and by the way, vestigially, it was still present in the old world. It was there between Mr. Boswell and Mr. Johnson. They still held the central fact of history in high regard, which is the God-man, the incarnation. They still had it held in such regard that they would have never considered any or nearly any of the things that we consider part of normal society today. If you took a person, just a random person out of the city of New Orleans or Detroit or Chicago or New York with all of their peccadilloes and transported them back to 1781 with Mr. Boswell and Mr. Johnson, and he acted the way he does in public, they would probably hang him. And I'm not saying that lightheartedly. I'm just saying that as a statement of fact. They would think this guy was so aberrational, so devoid of human characteristics, that they'd have thought, he's a dangerous society. We got to get rid of him. Now, I'm not advocating that type of response. I'm simply saying that's how far we have fallen in what you might call respectability. That's how far we've fallen in what you might say is human relations. That's how far we've fallen in the bounds of propriety. You name it, right? And so I just make this statement as a little bit of an opening salvo into getting into what President Trump talked about in Poland. What was it, yesterday or the day before? I think yesterday. Now, let me do a little bit more of Father Shaw before we go to the Trump speech. Because, like I said, this is a really important article. We'll come back to Shaw at the end as well. Let me find a place to put my pile of, there we go. Sorry about that. Pile of prep stuff. He says this. He says, the fact remains that existing man on earth, in the Christian view, is to explain and direct himself to the transcendent being, to God, from which each person came and to which he is to return. Now, do we even think about this anymore? This has been the crusade of the Crusade Channel, getting the order right. You want to help us get the order right? 844-527-8723. Call in and tell me what you think. Why are we so far off from having the order correct? How is it that 200 years ago, Johnson and Boswell were much closer to the proper order than we are? Why? What is the answer to this riddle? Where have we gone wrong? Have we gone anywhere right? Might be another question. Let me finish with three paragraphs, and these are not too long. Let's finish with three paragraphs from Father Shaw's article, and then we'll go to the Trump speech. He's talking about, now remember, he's running towards the end of the 20th century. We've already entered the third millennium, but you'll get it. The first, second, and now the impending third millennium of Christianity underscore in retrospect the improbable fact, not of Christianity's demise, but of its strength, its curious lastingness in this world. Now, you might say, well, Dave, that sounds like opposite the point you were just making. No, it's not. We are definitely in the death throes of one episode of Christianity's death throes. But as Chesterton always remarked, it always finds a way out of the grave. And isn't that amazing that Christ came to tell us that very fact, that he's already conquered death? You can't kill this thing, though it can definitely look rather morbid and moribund. All right. Its curious lastingness in this world. Whatever else might be said about Christianity, what is most obvious is that it should not still be here at all. Christianity is too old still to exist. By any secular, norm, scientific, historiographical, or sociological, this organized faith needs something other than itself to remain what it is. Christian faith itself recognizes in the symbolic keys of Peter a guarantee that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The immediate thing to be explained about Christianity is not whether it will continue to survive, but why it has lasted so long, longer than any other organized institution in human history. There may be scattered tribes and faith, perhaps, older than Christianity. I don't think so, to be sure. Though their organization is mostly blood and family, not the product of a rational and willed system. But all the institutionalized nations themselves have come, and most have gone, or have been so radically transformed that they really are not continuous with what went before them. Scientifically, Christianity should not still exist, says Father Schall. The interesting thing about Christianity is not how much it has changed, but how much it has not changed. Indeed, this is the most interesting and important thing about it. For if Christianity actually changed, it would cease to be what it is, which is what makes it worth knowing about in the first place. What he's saying is the eternal and the transcendent are much more important than the temporal and passing things of this world. And whatever we might think of doctrinal development, doctrine does not, strictly speaking, change. Unless Christianity is in some fundamental sense the same as it was from the beginning, then its universal claim is simply non-existing. The claim of Christianity is also a claim of truth, of a truth that is the same yesterday and the same forever, as St. Paul would have it. If Christianity does not make this claim to truth, then it simply has no real reason to exist. Wow. Now, like I said, this article is quite deep in some places. Like I said, you're going to have to study the paragraphs more than just read them. That's okay. That's a good thing. But why do I bring that up in this context? Well, you're listening to the Mike Church Show. I'm David Simpson, filling in for Mike while Mike is on a much-deserved vacation. I hope he does not call in today. No, I don't really care if you call in tonight, Mike. But if you do call in, don't call in for work. Call in for pleasure. We'll talk about that in a little while. 844-527-8723. Today is a free phone Friday. You are welcome to call in. I hope you're wearing your Hawaiian shirt. Now let's talk about Trump's speech. Everyone likes to talk about a Trump speech. Why not? This is from the Washington Post. July 6th at 1:23 p.m. It's by Abby Phillip, John Wagner, and Michael Birnbaum. The title, Western Values Increasingly Endangered by Terrorism and Extremism, Trump Warns Europe. Right away, if you're critically thinking, if you're critically using that little instrument between your ears, Western Values Increasingly Endangered. What are Western values? That'd be the first question you'd ask, even without even knowing anything more about the article. You can be certain that they're probably not going to lead us anywhere unless they define their terms. Now, Father Schall, in the article I was just reading, elaborated extensively about Christianity's traditional, moorings. It's systematic process by which it informs the society about the important things in life and how that can never be any different. What does Mike say all the time? Truth does not have an expiration date. Well, if that is true, and it is, well, then why are we using a nebulous term like Western values unless you're trying to undermine what those Western values are? But let's take them at their word right now and assume that they mean no ill will towards us. Can you get the phone system up over here just on the off chance? Here we go. President Trump on Thursday reaffirmed the United States' bond with European allies, calling their pact as, quote, strong as ever. Yet he argued in his speech here that Western values are increasingly imperiled by terrorism and extremism. Let's face it, if Trump is nothing else, if he's not a very good reader of human beings and what they're feeling in the depths of their souls. Some people think he's progressive. Some people think he's a nationalist. Some people think he's a populist. You know, whatever. I don't really care. He has one ability in spades, in my opinion, and that is he seems to be able to read people well and speak to what they are thinking, whether he believes it or not. And that's really the danger, I think, because all demagogues have that ability. So I wouldn't mind. The ability in itself is not bad. The question is, are you using it to further truth? Are you using it to manipulate the other person? And that's a really, really important question. But listen to this. So the next line of this article says this. In a dark and provocative address with nationalist overtones, comma. Let's stop there for a minute. This is a report from the Washington Post, right? Does that sound like objective, non-biased reporting? Let me read it to you again. Listen to the adjectives. In a dark and provocative address with nationalist overtones. Look, I mean, I suppose if you want to comment on the article, I mean, on the speech, you could use some things and say, you know, his words seemed dark. For example, when he said, boom, his words were provocative, especially when he said, and you give the example, he was using nationalist rhetoric such as, you know, I guess you could do that and still remain some semblance of objectivity. I don't think that's their purpose. Their purpose is we don't like the speech. But anyway, let's move on. In a dark and provocative address with nationalist overtones, Trump said that, quote, the fundamental question of our time is whether the West has the will to survive. Well, let me ask you, West. Hey, West, do you have the will to survive? Listen, all you guys listening out there, free streamers, all you people listening on the premium service, do you have the will to survive? Well, you know, personally, you're going to say, well, of course, David, I'm actually kind of enjoying my life. I appreciate the fact that God created me to begin with. I like life. It's a good thing. I'd rather be than not be. Matter of fact, if you not be, you can't even desire. So therefore, yes, I have the will to survive. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the West, you, culture. Hey, great mass of organized body out there called society. Do you have a will to survive? Well, do you, punk? A will to survive. You know, that's just, you say, no, of course, it's instinctive. No. Culturally, it's not, right? Culture doesn't have the same things that a person does. We analogize personality to culture many times, but it's not the same thing. Does the West have the will to survive?